Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Seth Rollins has a new childish nickname for The Rock. A direly childish nickname for The Rock.
That is actually better than the nickname for The Rock.
I'm Luke Owen, D-A-D. I'm joined by the professor, the truth, your gem, that champion, Dan Layton. And welcome to the podcast review, the WrestleTalk podcast review of Monday Night Raw. Please do press the subscribe button if this is your first time here and you haven't already. Give us a little thumbs up as well. Leave a comment down below if you're watching this on demand with your thoughts on the episode. However, if you're watching live, join us in the live chat. Join our community. Let us know your thoughts. And if you want your thoughts read out on the air, it is WrestleTalk.com/support. We'll read out all of them before the end of the broadcast. So, we're going to open up this week's show. We're talking about the opening promo of this, which was 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. The TLDR version of this, watch SmackDown.
Yeah. That's a pretty decent summation of it.
I hate it. I think WWE got a very bad habit of doing this, mm-hmm. and I hate it when they do it, mm-hmm. when they have a long promo segment. And the point of that promo segment is, you'll see the rest of this promo on SmackDown.
Yeah.
I, in the edited review of this, compared this to when I was a teenager, or in my early 20s in the mid-2000s, and I would argue with people on forums.
What a fun activity we all took part in.
So, forums...
I wonder if we ever argued on a forum and didn't know it.
Oh, I don't know. I think you're too nice. And I feel like...
I was very... youthful and wide-eyed.
And I think I would have just liked you on forums. So, you know, for our younger viewers who might not remember or know what a forum was, it's like Discord, but it took much longer to have conversations with people.
Yeah, and you can have a special banner.
Yeah, well, absolutely, and avatars and stuff. Yeah. But you wouldn't see that people were replying as they were replying. You would have to refresh the page to see if anything had been posted to the forum.
I think it was probably healthier in a weird way. You would pop your post and then you'd go about your day. And then maybe the next day you'd come back.
And this is my point. It's because someone would say something and you'd be like, I disagree with that. So you'd reply to that post. They might have left that post 2 days ago, but you'd reply, I disagree with this. And then you might not get another reply for another 2 days where they're like, well, here is my rebuttal to your rebuttal. And then, I don't know, I've got to go to a class at university now. I haven't got time, although I would have just replied to it. I was very bad at university.
I was doing my SATs.
My university years, I was playing a lot of EWR, which is it's basically my GM mode, but an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And it's why I got a Desmond Tutu. And then, 2 days later, you reply to it. Point is, it would sometimes take you 7 days to have an argument. I feel that The Rock and Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins are having a forum-based argument in the mid-2000s where it's just taking them 4 weeks to get to a point.
But there was a website, I, for the life of me, can't remember what it was called, but it was the first sort of like comedy, isn't wrestling a bit silly website. It used to have a lot of the South Park wrestlers on it. I used to go there a lot.
Loved them.
And there were a lot of like, there was a list on this website of just questions that nobody in wrestling thinks about or shouldn't look at too hard. And one of them was, does nothing happen in the McMahon's family life between Monday and Thursday. Yeah. Because it doesn't seem like they speak to each other.
Yeah.
And we kind which of, is part of the conceit of the show.
Of course it is.
We buy into it, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same with like LA Knight wasn't angry at AJ Styles between Elimination Chamber and SmackDown. And then the SmackDown shows up was like, I'm really mad at AJ. I was like, but that happened a week ago.
Yeah.
Like, did you just sit on your butt for 7 days? What have you been doing? But yeah, we had the press conference a while ago now. And we are still just waiting and waiting and waiting for this tag match to be announced. And I think it'll be announced this Friday. Because Rock's on the show, Roman's on the show, Cody and Seth in this promo said, we're going to be on the show. So we'll finally probably get the official. We might not do. They might say, like, how we'll give you an answer next week on SmackDown.
We're a while away from Mania. We've got a few more weeks left. So yes. They've got to spin it out somehow.
But if you're going to spin something out, you do need to make it compelling. I get that there is time between now and Mania, so you don't want to just announce everything out the wazoo. But that does not give you the excuse to have what is effectively, you know, including SmackDown, an hour's worth of promo and not actually move the story forward.
Can I have a tight 2 minutes on SmackDown? Well, I didn't get to review it because of this channel's chronic AEW bias. But like,
I would like to talk about SmackDown as well because we didn't get to talk about it this week.
Because, so for those who may not have seen it and tune in with the show via our reviews, because I do that sometimes with certain programs when I'm busy. The unfortunate incident of a legend of the industry retiring sort of made Revolution a sort of a must-watch show.
And Ospreay and Takeshita.
Oh, yeah. They were there too. Yeah, they had a little match. No, it was... So that's why we didn't get to talk about SmackDown. But SmackDown was, I thought, genuinely quite brilliant this week. This is why I think this segment and this episode of Raw felt like a bit of a letdown for me. Spoilers for the rest of the review. But basically, SmackDown opened with a 40-minute promo segment between Roman Reigns, commercial break, The Rock, and it was a piece of dramaturgical excellence. It was absolutely brilliant. Not only was it The Rock doing what The Rock does better than anybody, which is cutting these kind of promos where he'll trash talk the crowd, trash talk the opponents, be compelling, be very actory. And it's such a nice relief to have The Rock doing this in heel form after having been stale for a while.
It's way better than Ain't America Great Rock that we had on day one.
And he's lent into it, and I think we as fans can appreciate that and be grateful for it. He's gone, oh, I see the way the tide is turning. I see the way I'm going to make some money, and I'm going to lean in. And The Rock does do that, and I appreciate that from him. It was also some of Roman Reigns' best work, like the segment at the beginning where he sort of goes a bit unhinged in a way we haven't seen him for a while, starts screaming at the crowd for not acknowledging him properly, because even though he's been the big heel monster, we've also been acknowledging him. In that moment, he's screaming at the crowd. It's so intense, and he wants to leave, but wise man Paul Heyman says, I'm sorry, we can't leave.
It also sets up effectively the punchline of that
the whole segment
as well.
Because Paul Heyman's like, we can't leave because he's coming out, so we need to stay for that, which instantly made me go, oh, that is spicy. The tribal chief is saying, let's get out of here, fire up the private jet, and you say no? That changes everything. The Rock cuts his long promo after having posted a 21-minute video on Twitter, which was also good, by the way.
I thought the Twitter promo was better.
Right.
Than the SmackDown one, yeah. Not take anything away from the SmackDown one, because that was also great. But man, that Twitter promo was so good.
Yeah, I'm encouraging you to go on Twitter. Plot twist.
He posted it to Instagram
as
well.
Thank God.
So you don't have to go to that hell site. You can go to Instagram instead. A slightly less of a hell site.
So then when that segment does finish, and the punchline to your point is Roman, he goes to If You Smell, and the framing of it is a close-up on The Rock, and then out of the corner of the frame, a hand stops him. I was pottering about on my Saturday morning, getting ready for my day, buttering some toast. I stopped dead, like the world had been frozen, with my mouth agape. I was like, oh my God, what has he done? That is exactly what you want. It was so compelling, Roman being like, I need you to acknowledge me. Like, the idea of who is in charge, the drama of that, then The Rock does acknowledge him and takes his glasses off, looks directly in his eyes and says, I acknowledge you as my tribal chief, puts his hand in the air, and then opens the L.
Yeah.
So he knows it still might not mean anything. That segment was 40 minutes long, delayed everything for the rest of SmackDown, but it didn't feel like it. It flew by.
Yeah, that's the key to it, isn't it? It was a 40-minute segment, but, you know, granted, half of that is just entrances.
And, sure.
And The Rock getting goosebumps on his
arm. Oh, he didn't get goosebumps this time.
Well, he did. He just couldn't untuck his sleeve.
Oh, I thought he just didn't bother. Oh, okay.
I think he still did the
that's him checking his watch.
Yeah.
And look at my Versace.
But let's say, it's a lot of it is just entrances, but it was 40 minutes, and it really did not feel like a 40 minute segments.
And so much happened in it. And so many questions were raised, questions were answered, things were done, made me feel things. There was a lot of the time used in that segment was so good. And it's the polar opposite to what happened here.
Because this was a 20 minute segment where, I mean, as I kind of said earlier, the punchline to it was, we'll actually do this on Friday. Mm. So this did not need to happen. This could have been an email.
And I actually think there's a way to your point about spinning things out and making it engaging, there's a way to spin this out and keep it engaging. Like, do they need to cut this promo, or can we have Cody come out and have like a tune-up match against someone and Cole and Pat are chatting about how important his decision is?
Why didn't Seth have a match?
There you go. I guess the clearance thing
he's cleared.
I know, but I guess you want to, I could see an argument of being like, announcing that he's cleared is better than having the match.
So you can come out, announce that you're cleared, and I want to wrestle.
Right. Oh,
I'm the workhorse champion of this division. I want to make this belt mean something. I want to have a match right now.
And then backstage, you could have Cody and Seth sort of like find each other. Like, maybe Cody's had his match earlier in the night. Seth comes back from his match and they go, I think we need to talk.
Yeah.
And then they go backstage and we won't find out until Friday.
Yeah, and you don't need to see.
Like, yes.
You can then just say, have a graphic up at the end, maybe just say Cody and Seth will be on SmackDown this Friday or whatever it is. But this was a segment that kind of accomplished nothing. Much in the same way, the segment at Elimination Chamber, half an hour, didn't really accomplish anything either. And I feel like we're moving slowly. This is moving at a glacial pace at the moment.
You know how that thrills me.
I saw someone, I was talking about Chad Gable in the editor review. I was like, would anyone like to see, like, I'm more leaning towards Chad Gable next week than I am Sami Zayn. And I love Sami Zayn, but we'll talk about this a bit more later on. And someone was like, man, I'm picking Chad Gable. It's long-term storytelling. Mm-hmm. Like, long-term's a stretch there, because it's a storyline they started in September, then stopped and have picked up again 4 months
later.
Can
I be a Luke Owen troll? Because you tell me off for saying that when we talk about AEW booking, and you're like, oh, well, this was something that happened 2 years ago, and it's all coming. But I mean, now, this has been a story being built for a long time.
No, that's bubbling under the surface. Also, have gone on to do other things. Chad has just not been on TV.
Tony, you need to pay this guy more. Like, he is earning his keep.
I just make good points to him. I don't know what to tell you, bud. Dan throws these softball arguments at me, and I just bat them away. You can make the argument. This is long-term storytelling. I would argue this is a story that is taking a long time to tell.
And I think when you look at the week ahead and you've got, we've got 3 weeks till Mania, there's a way to make, to plot it out properly.
Yeah.
And the reason I wanted to talk about the opening of SmackDown there was to make it clear that it's like, I think they're doing such a brilliant job with this. Genuinely.
It's a great story.
And I know that some people are like, well, stop talking about the fact that they pivoted. Well, I feel like we should, because it's one of the most masterful pivots we've ever seen.
It's
like,
a very good pivot.
And for so long, we've talked about how they, you know, what's the phrase for looking back and the retcon, I suppose?
Hindsight.
Like, no, for when you go back and pretend something happened. Like the way
Deus Ex. That's more of a thing.
No, when the it is retconning, I think. When we look back at WrestleMania 30 and it's the Daniel Bryan story, and it's like, no, that was a pivot too. Like, there was a massive amount of pivoting happening there. Like, it's praise to say how well they've done. So when they've done something like this, and not just the lack of substance, what then I'm sure we'll do it now is in the actual promo is complete bollocks. Like, genuinely very bad.
Right, so here is the only talking point
out of this
promo.
It's even more frustrating.
Here is the only talking point out of this promo, is that Seth has come up with a new nickname for Dwayne Johnson for The Rock, and that is Diarrhea Dwayne. It got a diarrhea chant. The crowd sort of enjoyed it to a degree.
The product's hot. People chant for anything. They chant for antlers later on. Jesus.
The crowd, you know, enjoyed it. There's giggles on commentary. And the reaction to this has been, well, that's lame. Like, that's not cool. That is Seth Rollins is not cool.
Producer Rich upstairs referred to it as suffering succotash.
Like, yeah, he said like, cool. That's his suffering succotash moment. Yeah. It's supposed to be bad though, right? Like it's a.
Is it?
Well, yeah, it's mocking of The Rock coming up with rubbish, childish nicknames like Crackhead Karen.
Oh, he didn't do the joke right then because Crackhead Karen was banging.
Like that's, I think, where the problem of this lies. But and maybe I'm reaching here. Maybe I'm being naive here. But this was so bad and it's so lame. I was like, oh, that's the joke. It's because it's saying that The Rock is lame and The Rock isn't cool. Right?
I think it's
lame on purpose.
If it's on purpose, it doesn't stop it being lame. If it's lame on purpose, it's also lame. Like, yeah. I think for me, if let's say that is the joke, right? If I were to stand up right now and do and read a John Mulaney set verbatim, you'd maybe chuckle, but it wouldn't be as good as if John Mulaney came in and did a set for us right now, right? It's all about the person making the joke and the delivery of the joke. And if the joke here was that The Rock comes up with these lame catchphrases.
Like Cody Crybaby,
which actually was a genius bit of seed planting and then sowing from both Rock and Cody to use that to their advantage. If that's the joke, then tell the joke better. Because the delivery of the joke was weird and it didn't land. So that's why I thought, oh, this is just him trying to get a point. And actually for me, it was him doing the opposite thing of what got a lot of the people in the chat cross at me when I was complaining about Roman talking about Seth's wife.
Yeah.
Which was when he's being belittling to his opponent, right? And I know that some people in the chat said, and people in the comments as well said, oh, you just don't know how heels work. Nope. Bollocks to that. You're supposed to be a baddie that we want to boo, but you're also supposed to make it seem like an achievement when you beat your opponent, especially when that opponent is the world champion. That was my criticism of Roman.
Yeah.
If you're telling me that this person is nothing and then you beat them, then you've achieved nothing. Here, Seth said in one breath, the most important thing we can do is save this company from the bloodline. We need to save and free the people from the bloodline. They are an existential threat. And then in the same breath, this guy's rubbish. Diarrhea Dwayne, absolutely rubbish. They're all rubbish. So which is it? Pick a lane.
Well, yeah, so that's why I've got to think it's... And I'm looking at the live chat and people think that I'm giving them too much credit. I'm mettering
it's
this
just
myself.
Really nice for once to not be the one who's reaching. I feel like normally it's me.
Maybe I am Michael Jordan at the end of Space Jam here and I am reaching to make this dunk. But he also does then point out Rock's not been cool for 20 years. And well, I feel like that's the sort of that's sort of like knitting all of this together. It's like I've come up with a lame name for The Rock, the same way that The Rock comes up with lame names for us, because The Rock isn't cool. Now, granted, part of the problem here is that Seth isn't cool either.
Well, here's my thing though, and because you're right, which is that The Rock called him an emoji clown.
Yeah, and then clown emoji, right?
And then basically what happened was Seth came out and proved his point. He just came out and did it with the way he was moving and the way he was speaking and the way... And, like, I actually have a lot more leniency with the Seth Rollins character. I certainly have a lot more leniency with his wardrobe. I love the guy's wardrobe. And I like the whole energy.
If I may, on the wardrobe.
No, you may not.
Hold on. with my Jeff Jarrett t-shirt. Thank you very much. This is a nice mustard color as well. I think this looks quite good on me.
Okay.
I've also matched the color somewhere.
You have done very well there. I will give you credit for that. Yeah.
And I wasn't even going to bury...
And I'm just wearing a cozy jumper.
Yeah.
So.
And I wasn't even going to bury Seth Jacket here. All I was going to say was, it's a nightmare for thumbnails. It's too bright, which means that my text does not stand out as much on thumbnails. That's all I wanted to say on his.
So, and since I know you're watching because you took another one of my ideas this week, I feel like it's important that you take that into account. And if you could just have more muted colors on Seth's wardrobe. No, so it was the way he was acting as well, the coming out and doing the diarrhea line and basically being... He decided to try and be a foolish version of The Rock that we all agreed has been stale for 15 years, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, again, what are you trying to achieve? Why can't Seth come out and say something like, The Rock saying that professional wrestling is cool again? Like, he hasn't been here. You know why professional wrestling is cool again? Because of you and me and everyone in the back who's been working their ass off and trying to make it... Again, give us a reason to root for you. It's okay that The Rock says wrestling is cool and we expose that he's wrong. That is how heels work, right? The heel should say, I'm the reason this is big, even though we all know the Emperor has no clothes. That's what should be happening. So then it's on the baby faces to come out and showcase our righteous anger and give us a reason to go, yeah, what a dick that guy is. Yeah. And I support these guys instead. And what he did instead was just, in a very this level of intensity, faff about a bit.
Well, this was 20 minutes of faff.
Yeah.
It reminded me of, I think it was the Raw after Mania when... It's not the Raw after Mania when he beat Cody. It's the Raw after Mania when he beat Brock.
Mm.
And it's the they built this three-hour Raw about the Bloodline's going to be the main event. It's going to be a Roman Reigns promo. And Roman Reigns comes out and he's flanked by the whole Bloodline. They've got the tag titles and everything. And they just did a 10-minute promo segment, which was, we'll see you on Friday.
Right.
And I remember being fuming and furious about that. Because I was like, you've been having me sat here for 3 hours. Mm. And your whole thing is watch another show.
Mm.
Here, at least it was at the start of the show. But I get you want to promote other shows.
Yeah, that's
you
not
want,
a problem.
You want to promote, like, you know, we promote Parts of Unknown. I'll go and watch today's WrestleTalk News. Yeah, wait till the end of this show, but go and watch the WrestleTalk News. But it's, at the same time, I am giving you other substance within this video. So it is not, you're not sat here for an hour and a half watching this video and getting nothing out of it.
That's it. It's make me want to watch the next episode. Not like what happened on SmackDown, and we'll get into it as well with the women's division on SmackDown later on. Thank God they were on the show, so I can talk about them as well. That made me want to watch Raw, right?
Yeah.
The Rock's promo made me want to watch Raw.
Because you want to see the response.
Because I want to see the response. And the response, like I said, I just pitched a entry-level version of something that is still not pristine, but will make sense enough to make me have a reason to wait for next week.
Yeah.
Or to wait for Friday. This promo didn't do that.
Well, let's... Do you know what? I'm actually also curious on this one. Let's do a poll.
Oh, goodness gracious. You love it.
Was it bad on purpose? Okay.
Let's see if we can get to 100% no.
I'm trying to find what the best way to word this is. Because I don't want to just put the... It's one of the things. Is Seth lame? Is Seth lame on purpose?
Is Diarrhea Dwayne lame on purpose?
Yeah, is Diarrhea Dwayne lame on purpose, or is Diarrhea Dwayne cool?
All right.
There you go, that's the poll. That's the poll.
Maybe, yeah.
I can't find another way to word it.
Just, is Diarrhea Dwayne lame on purpose, yes or no? I feel like don't over...
Yeah, do you know what? Let's not over-egg this pudding.
Yeah.
Is it lame on purpose, yes or no?
Yeah.
Because I'm curious, we did a poll yesterday. I was really shocked by this one. On the Derby spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I think this has got 50-50 written all over it. Mm. I think this is really going to be divisive. And it was not as divisive. Did you like it?
Right.
And it was more of a landslide victory than I thought. I really thought it was going to be more of a divisive spot than it was. I'm now not going to look at this poll.
Oh, fun.
I want to see. Because I think this is going to go one way.
Yeah.
I think this is not... And it's not my way. I think this is going one way.
Mm. I'm intrigued.
I don't think this is going to be as divisive.
I am intrigued as well, because obviously, like, we've spoken about this a few times. There are people who believe that we collectively, but especially you, have a chronic anti-Seth bias. And it's not the case, because I quite like Seth. Like, you know, I'm not... Mm-hmm. I think Seth there's a reason that he got over big time in 2019. There's a reason that they keep putting the belt on him. There's a reason he carried the company on his... and busted his knee and his back out in 2015. Sure, like, I think he's so good.
He was the guy in 2015.
And I think he still has the sort of the potential for that, but you've got to use him in the right way, especially as we're leading to WrestleMania. And I do feel like when it comes to the creative meetings and the time that they spend plotting out the show, I wish I could have a fly on the wall and see who had the conversation and what ideas were ticked and what ideas were node in how we sit down and say, okay, right, we need to hype Seth and Cody on SmackDown on Friday. How do we do that?
Yeah.
And then what, because for me, that question is fun, and then I sit there and it's fantasy booking.
Yeah.
What is that process like, and how do we end up here?
I was chatting about this episode in the office, and Ollie said to me, he's like, what did you think of Raw? And I kind of gave my brief thoughts, and he was like, this is classic Triple H NXT, which is a fine, completely missable episode of television.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been watching the build to WrestleMania 17 in my watch along that has taken longer than it was actually on air. Because I started, when I got the network in 2015, I started watching 1998, mm-hmm. and I've only just arrived at March 2001. But yeah, I'm watching it back, and there are a few of those kind of like average shows here and there. But especially in the weeks leading up to Mania, things do pick up speed quite a lot, and there's a lot of very intense segments. There's also a promo where Vince McMahon talks about buying WCW for far too long. Like, it goes to, it's about using your time properly. We got a few more weeks before Mania. Like, yeah. It wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen, but I was,
absolutely not,
after being on quite a high from SmackDown for all the segments. Shout out to the LWO Legado segment as well. I really like that one. Rey Mysterio coming back. This was a massive come down. I think that's why I'm a little bit more sour.
I think that's looking at the live chat as well. I think that's kind of a common feeling on this, is that this does feel like a big come down from that SmackDown. And I should say as well, that SmackDown 40-minute segment was incredible.
Yeah.
It did go 10 minutes over.
Yeah.
And it did impact the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Naomi and Tiffany Stratton were supposed to get two segments for their match. That got cut down to one. There was stuff that was entirely cut from the show.
Mm-hmm.
And the report is that the reason it went long, and the other reason The Rock did his 20-minute promo on Instagram, is because he was told he couldn't have more time on TV.
Well, I was going to say, you tell The Rock no, but apparently they did.
Well, he said, I want more time. And they said, you can't have more time than we've already given you half an hour for this. And he was like, well, fine, I'll do a 20-minute promo on Instagram, and then we'll go 10 minutes over on our segment. Mm. The Rock felt like he needed an hour to get his point across of what he wanted to say on Friday.
Cripes.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Let's see what you thought of this segment. Check us out in wrestletalk.com/support. Hector Rodriguez has been a member for 25 months in a row. Said Seth wore the brightest suit to the point I think highlighters would be jealous of how bright it was. Lord almighty. But hey, six-way for the IC title shot? Heck yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Victoria, more defined characters and promos, but this was a little exhausting. Eating into the time of seeing the performers I love has not endeared me more to the Bloodline story. Also, getting off X has done wonders for my wrestling enjoyment.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it just?
Yeah.
Geek of Arabia here. SmackDown thought, Rock's character has always been a bit of a sellout, even when you think about it. Even from the Stardust Rocky Maivia to the corporate Rock to the People's Champ, even has a tinge of sellout to me. Also, Luke, stop being crazy. You know why. Hmm. What have I been crazy about?
What have you not been crazy about?
Kuzu here said, Cody's part of the promo was fine, but Seth's was mixed. I get the intention of it being bad on purpose, but I don't think that came through. Doesn't help that some people already think Seth is lame. Do you guys think he betrays Cody and costs him?
I don't think so. I think there is a more interesting... I think that would be diminishing his story with Drew, which I think is another massive selling point. And that's another reason that, like, I don't want to bury these guys. I actually completely agree with that summation of it, that Cody's part of the promo was fine. I think Cody... It was fine. It wasn't dynamic, no, but it was fine. I don't see any swerves happening on the face side of this story.
No. If anything, like, we talk about this as well. Rock and Roman win on night one, and then you do the big bloodline rules. Like, that feels proper. What was the Attitude Era, the Austin pay-per-view, where it's him versus Dude Love, and Vince is the referee, and Pat Patterson is the timekeeper.
It's not Judgment Day, is it?
It might be Over the Edge, or I think it's Over the Edge, 98. It might be Unforgiven, 98, one of those shows. And it's, Gerald Briscoe's the timekeeper, and Pat Patterson's the ring announcer, and all this sort of stuff. That's what sort of, like, Bloodline Rules feels about. So you proper stack the deck for Cody to overcome and beat Roman on night two.
I don't spend too much time on X these days, but I did see someone do a gloriously Attitude Era overbooked thread about, you know, who takes out who and whatever, and it saw, like, Austin come back Cena come back, and I was like, I mean, it is silly nonsense,
but I think if you're gonna do, like, this Bloodline Rules thing, this is the perfect time for this, like, you know, Avengers Assemble on your left moment, when, like, everyone comes out to help at the end.
And honestly, as long as it ends with Cody hitting a crossroads and getting a 1-2-3 in the center of the ring, and ideally any of the people coming to neutralize the Bloodline don't touch Roman at all, I will think it's the best thing in the history of the world ever.
Like, I will have so much fun, because it's got a very Attitude Era.
But it's also, like, we talked about it we watched Sting's retirement match.
Yeah, right. So it was Over the Edge. I was right.
It was
98. Thank you. 98. No, yeah, not 99.
We talked about it on earlier on in the office when we were watching Sting's retirement, which was that there was it's like we're talking about what's the match of the night from that show.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of hard to compare something like an Ospreay Takeshita, even a Kingston Danielson, to a Sting retirement match, because that match was so full of wrestling specific drama.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with this Bloodline thing. You know, if you do choose to overbook it in that direction, it might seem silly wrestling parody, but that's also why we're there.
But that's it. Like, Sting and Darby versus the Young Bucks was 5 stars.
Mm.
Will Ospreay versus Takeshita was 5 stars, but they're 5 stars for very different reasons.
Yeah.
And you do Cody versus Roman with all of this Bloodline and all of this Avengers on your left shenanigans, that sounds 5 stars.
So, Chad Gable versus Gunther, but I'll get that.
But for different reasons as to why this was. And, like, Chad Gable versus Gunther is a different level of 5 stars, or a different reason for 5 stars, than it is for Ospreay and Takeshita. And, like, that's...
And ultimately,
it's the wonderful tapestry of wrestling.
And a two-night WrestleMania, you want all of that, right?
Absolutely. We've got an unknown username here. Please do let our moderators know. It is a Streamlabs issue. He said, I went online and saw them people comparing Seth promo to Suffer and Succotash. And while there will be nothing worse than Suffer and Succotash, it made me realize I don't want Seth in this feud. And that was reinforced by the ending of Jay and Drew.
Yeah, I mean, thinking about it,
it's Jay.
Why isn't Jay there?
Jay's the guy I feel like should be in this position.
And I appreciate that Seth has history with Roman, you know, and there was a moment there where we were thinking that maybe Seth wouldn't have anything to do because of Punk. But, like, yeah, Cody and Jay were tag champs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it really should be Cody and Jay. Jay was the last person to pin Roman.
See if you can find a friend, Cody. Well, I have, actually.
Yeah.
It's your cousin.
Yeah.
Why isn't it Jay?
Yeah, because that also then ties more into the Jimmy stuff.
I just got to call Triple H.
He's over there just making sure that we're getting all the right things in. Actually, I just want to back up something that Kuzu said in here as well. Was like, where I think the reason... something I completely agree with in that statement I didn't quite get to was that I think there's some confusion over this, because people already think Seth is lame. So if Seth says something that's lame, and was like, oh, that's just Seth being lame.
Mm.
If Cody had said it, I wonder if the joke would have landed more.
Mm. I don't know.
I think Cody can make it work.
Oh, I don't want a lamb. I don't like it. It also it rhymes. It's
alliteration.
Yeah. Just leave it to The Rock. Make your own jokes.
Anyway, we'll get into the rest of the show. Please do let us know what you thought of this show in the live chat here and in the comments down below. Keep getting your Ultra Chats in. Our opening contest was Dominic Mysterio versus Gunther, and this was just about the 5 stars that I wanted it to be, which was that Gunther dominated, Dominic got in his fluky moves, he got a couple of fluky near falls, and then Gunther killed him with chops, power bombs, and Boston crabs. 5 stars. I loved it.
It was when he ripped his chest protector off so that he could have a go. It's like, these chops aren't going to do shit here. Sorry.
There you go. That is
31 minutes in. 30, sorry. 30, sorry.
30, just under 32 minutes in, if you want to timestamp that, everyone. But yeah, this is exactly what I wanted out of a Gunther-Dominic Mysterio match.
Yeah, it was good. There was also... it was just him getting to bash things around, wasn't it? It was just... There was also my interesting note from this one. I don't know if you spotted this. There was a shot in this match that I timed. A lot of production changes have been happening to Raw recently. Obviously, there's been a lot of conversation about it. Kevin Dunn no longer with the company. Some of them are more obvious than others. Like, the Raw logo is now not permanently red. It's just on the barricade and on the ring. It's just black with the word Raw on it. Same with up there. It used to be this like overbearing amount of red. Now it's not. The evil circles that we'll talk about later on, that's part of the production changes and things like that. Them arriving and things like that.
Yeah. I like that stuff.
In this match, it came back from the break, and the cameraman is on the ramp.
I love this shot.
And he walks all the way down to the ring and walks around the ring, and we just get to sort of watch Gunther absolutely batter Dominic Mysterio for a while.
Yeah.
It lasted for 37 seconds
without
a single cut. That is remarkable for the smash cut crash zoom company.
And they are still doing the smash cuts and
here
and crash zooms, which I do still hate, and I really wish they would pack in. But because they've been doing that shot for a couple of weeks now and come back from break, particularly because it's a sold out building.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Another straight sellout Raw as well. Like, this week's SmackDown sold out. Last week's Raw sold out. SmackDown was sold out. Like, hot streak of sold out shows now. How good this shot is, AEW copied it at Revolution.
Did they?
AEW did this shot at Revolution.
I mean, they had a full arena for once.
Because they had a full arena for once, for starters. But it's because it's so cool. It's a dynamic-looking shot. And someone in production was like, well, let's just do that on our show.
I mean,
I would.
It's effective. And it it gets to show you the scope of the arena, the size of the people in the ring. It just felt like, it just felt nice. I like that I'm seeing more wrestling. Do you know what I mean?
Also, the other thing to note from this is that they gave a shout out to Sting.
They did. They did.
In the commentary of this match, Michael Cole put over the long career of Sting and that he retired last night. And Pat McAfee said, he had an epic match. Mm-hmm. Didn't obviously say AEW Revolution, go buy the pay-per-view replay. But they, put over that Sting retired.
Yeah.
Which is very nice.
And do you know what else is interesting to me? There's a lot of there's been a lot, again, say off X, it'll make your life a lot better. But there's a lot of this whole discourse around certain elements of it. Like, WWE wouldn't give permission to TNA to AEW for footage of Sting. And it's like, well, they never asked. Like,
they apparently never asked.
And the same reason TNA didn't have any. I'm sure TNA would have given the footage, but they never asked. I think this again goes down to, of course, we had a whole conversation about this upstairs while you were on the pod yesterday. There's a lot of inter-brand rivalry, tribalism or whatever. The wrestlers respect and generally like each other. It's nice to have evidence here of wrestlers like Sting who transcend any sort of petty corporate don't mention the competition thing. I thought it was a really nice touch.
In the same way, when I think it was the John Cena episode of SmackDown or Raw they did.
Oh yeah.
When they had Jericho and Danielson and I think Big Show as well had videos on there that they'd got, and they just said Daniel Bryan, AEW wrestler.
Yeah.
There's always these moments. But then there's and I would imagine one of the reasons why they didn't ask was the last time they tried to do this was when WWE asked if they could have Billy Gunn for the DX reunion, and AEW just asked, if you can say he's in AEW, and they said no.
Right.
And they were like, oh,
Yeah.
Well, I guess then we're not as close of an allies as we thought then. But they are, you know, within competition with one another.
Yeah.
But it is not the toxic competition that wrestling fans like
and
to make.
And it can be, obviously, like there's elements of certain tweets and whatever that make it feel worse than it is. But I just feel, generally speaking, this was a nice little tribute.
I thought this was a very classy move, and I really liked it. And the match was awesome. Damage Control were walking backstage, and Adam Pearce walked up and said, "What are you doing here?" And they quite correctly pointed out, "We're the women's tag champions. That allows us to be here."
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But what are you doing here?
Adam Pearce is a dreadful administrator. Like, I mean, he makes up for it later on by making a good decision. But yeah. there was, he again, with the whole business of, oh, I'm just so stressed all the time.
Yeah, because Nakamura also walked up and he was like, yeah, well, go talk in my office about Gunther. The Damage Control said they're here to scout Baszler and Stark. Yeah.
This is where I get to put over the Bayley Dakota Kai segment from SmackDown. I think the second they announced there was going to be a tag match, we all know how it was going to go.
Absolutely.
And the sort of aping of the Asuka turn on Bianca when she joined Damage Control of going for the tag and then jumping off. The apron I thought was absolutely brilliantly done. Dakota Kai has played this fantastically, and I'm glad to see it for her.
So when we did three counts, I had for my Dakota Kai that she's the Damage Control mastermind.
Mm-hmm.
And when she aligned with Bayley against Damage Control, I did have people being like, another L for Luke Cohen there. And I sat there being like, just you wait. There's no way she's not in Damage Control still.
Of course, it leaves Bayley without any friends. Sasha Banks is on her way.
Well, speaking of the women's tag team titles, Baszler and Stark took on the Party Girls and they won very quickly. This was a bad match for commentary. At one point, the Party Girls did a double Spanish fly and Michael Cole said double suplex there.
And then Pat McAfee went, I think it was a double Spanish fly. And then Michael Cole went, oh yeah.
Oh yeah, so it was. And then I was like, oh, look at Pat McAfee there. Schooling Michael Cole. He knows what wrestling moves are. And then Katana Chance did a regular Hurricane Runner and Pat McAfee called it a Frankensteiner. And I was like, okay, well, maybe not then. Anyway, Stark and Baszler won.
Yeah, it was fine. I don't like, again, it's down to, there are certain moves in wrestling broadly where it takes an awful long time to set it up. And I don't think that's as effective as, it kind of sucks me out of the realism of it. But like, you know, it was fine.
The poll, by the way, has ended.
Okay.
Is way closer than I thought. I thought it was a landslide victory. Yes, 57%. No, 43%.
That's enough to pass Brexit, so I think we should...
I really thought that would be more heavily weighted to it was lame on purpose as a no, and it was just lame.
Oh, wait, they agree that it was lame on purpose?
Yeah, it's 57% think it was lame on purpose.
All right. Bargaining.
So anyway, Damage Control got in the ring to congratulate them afterwards, and they're having a tag title match next week on Raw, despite the fact that Damage Control are having a tag title match on NXT tonight. I wonder who's winning that one. JD Judgment Day, that is, were looking after Dom backstage. They had a brief moment where Andrade walked in and wanted to have a chat with Dominic Mysterio, looking like he's going to lure him away from Judgment Day, but they're kind of setting up the Judgment Day looking to recruit him. So I think that would be a nice swerve that he's actually trying to take Dominic out of Judgment Day.
There's also quite an interesting little wrinkle here that I hadn't really thought about before, where you've got almost a division within Judgment Day down the lines of JD and Finn are both Irish, and Dom and Priest talk to each other in Spanish a lot, and obviously Andrade speaking Spanish as well. It's almost like, oh, that's something I hadn't thought about. Like,
hadn't thought about it.
You know, do they drag Dominic away? Did they take Priest with them if he wanted to make Priest a babyface Money in the Bank holder? I don't know. Like, it was interesting.
So anyway, they also Priest told JD McDonough that he needs to sort out this Gunther problem. We had Becky Lynch versus Nia Jax. As we theorized last week, Liv Morgan did cause the DQ here and got in the face of Becky afterwards, mouthing off. And then Nia Jax beat both of them up. Thought they were having a really good match up until that point.
Yeah, I don't think it was as good as their previous one. But it was still good. You know, there's a clips going around of Nia doing a giant leg drop, which looked great. Like, she continues to prove that, you know, she's doing well in this comeback tour.
This comeback tour is doing much better for her than her first run. But yeah, like, they later on, Becky and Liv were having an argument backstage, and that it's going to be Becky versus Liv next week. Nia gets involved and causes a DQ there, and Rhea Ripley walks past and laughs. We talked about this a little bit last week. I feel that this is distracting from Becky versus Rhea as the WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
Which makes me think that more people are to be added, and it either becomes a triple threat with Liv or a fatal four-way with Nia.
It's a messy little story. I just don't think that adding more people to this match makes it more compelling than the one-on-one.
Way more compelling one-on-one.
This is what I'm saying. And I think that, you know, maybe it adds a little can they coexist story if the idea of, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the one WrestleMania trope we haven't had yet. Like, do Liv and Nia team up against Becky and Rhea? I don't know. It's just odd.
Yeah.
It's just odd.
Yeah. I really don't want this to be a fatal four-way.
No, I don't either.
I just want it to be Becky versus Rhea. That's the match you've been building to since last summer. Let's get to that match. Yeah. Let's do that match. That is the biggest match you can do with Rhea Ripley. Also, if it is a fatal four-way, then what was the point of the chamber?
Well, this is it. Like,
not just the chamber match, but the chamber pay-per-view.
Nia lost at chamber, yeah. Clean.
Liv lost at the chamber.
Liv lost at chamber, clean. So I understand the idea of Liv being frustrated at Becky because Becky makes everything about her. I actually like that as a story. Save it for Backlash.
Yeah. We also had a backstage segment where Ricochet was looking to get into the match because they don't have any respect for him. And Judgment Day also made a pitch for JD to get into there, which we'll come on to in a moment. In fact, we'll do that right now.
Am I wrong? Did JD McDonough get cut off in the middle of his plea?
I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure that JD McDonough just got cut off in the middle. He was like, I tell you what I want. I want him. And then like it got cut off.
Away.
And I thought it was so funny, but I don't know if it was just the feed that I had.
I think it was WWE taking a shot at AEW Sting retirement speech. So Adam Pearce makes his big announcement. There are six guys that are currently in a potential position to win an IC title shot. So next week, it's going to be a gauntlet match of Ricochet versus Chad Gable versus Sami Zayn versus Bronson Reed versus Shinsuke Nakamura versus JD McDonagh. I would argue that two of those are not like the other others. And let's have a conversation now, including what happens later on in the show. Gunther's cutting this promo, kind of putting over Dominic Mysterio, being like, kid took his lashings, fair play to him. And Chad Gable walks up to him and he talks about how you made my kid cry. And you did that with a smile on your face, and I want to take that smile and put it on the face of my daughter.
Mm.
And so, who do you want to win next week?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to thank WWE for taking another one of my ideas, and if you want to put me on the payroll at any time, you have my email address. You actually don't, but I would give it to you. Just feels like they make a lot of money and they get to travel a lot. Sounds quite fun. I don't know. Anyway, who do I want? I'll tell you exactly what I want. I want this gauntlet match to come down to Sami Zayn and Chad Gable, and then I want them to have 15 minutes, and I want to have my heart broken at the end of it either way. Who do I want to win? Chad Gable. I want Chad Gable versus Gunther at WrestleMania. Whether or not Chad Gable wins, if it were me, I'm putting the belt on him because I feel like having the reign end is better than having it go on in ad infinitum, you know? Although I can also understand the argument that if all the titles change hands, is it a bit too much? But then again, I'm starting to wonder whether Rhea's going to lose.
I don't think Rhea's losing.
You know, will Io get the job done? I don't know. There's a lot of this. It's kind of interesting for me. I think it is a good time and a good stage to take the title off Gunther, let him have a little break, and then come back in the main event scene. Chad Gable, for me, is the one who, with all the respect in the world to Sami Zayn, I think deserves the belt deserves the opportunity to follow Gunther most of this six. I would have made an argument for Sheamus as well, because I think that story was left unfinished, and you know, I don't, and also Sheamus has never won the Intercontinental title. There was also that element to it. Sheamus isn't involved. So with this, I do like the idea of a gauntlet where we somehow end up with Sammy and Chad, and it is a brilliant match, as I'm sure that it would be, because doesn't that sound like a match you want to see? And it ends with, honestly, either of them. It would feel like, oh, yes, but oh, like that, you know, that kind of feeling that only something like this can bring. Like that bittersweet joy of seeing the person win it, but the heartbreak for the person who doesn't get that to then go to WrestleMania. And maybe actually you could use the not being able to go to WrestleMania in a story with Sammy down the line. Not everybody can be on the card.
That's a key point to this.
And Sami Zayn going from main eventing to not being on the card because he maybe there's something about, hang on, Cody, I'm cross at you because you made my tag team partner go away. Mm-hmm. You derailed my whole momentum. For Jay, I'm kind of mad at you because I gave you a lot of love and I've not really shown a lot back from you, kind of thing. I think it would be an interesting plot point for Sami Zayn's character, whereas Chad Gable doesn't do a lot. What do you think?
So there's two avenues to this. Mm-hmm. I think there are two winners to this match. And as you pointed out there, Sami Zayn and Chad Gable. On the Sami Zayn thing, they have been telling you this story. Sami is Rocky. And it's in Philadelphia. It's, you know, he is the boss baby. And they're doing the Rocky story. It's talk of Sly Stallone being involved in this. So that really sets up Sami to be the winner of this match. He's on momentum. He's the Rocky. He's the underdog. And he's going up against the most dominant IC champion of all time in Philadelphia at WrestleMania. His path has been revealed to him. Very clear. Sami is the winner of this match. But the Chad Gable thing is so much more emotional. Mm. I also think it's a more compelling story. In just 2 weeks, I think they've made that feel like it means more than Sammy's Rocky story, which I don't think has connected at all. Mm. I think it's one of the big failures of the Triple H creative era is dropping the ball with Sami Zayn from last year.
Yeah.
Sami should be as white of a hot of a baby face as Cody Rhodes is right now, because he was this time last year. And now he's at a point where people are like, actually, he's my second choice to win this gauntlet match. That is a failure on creative to capitalize on someone's momentum. Mm. So I want Chad to win because I think Chad's got the better story.
It also makes a better WrestleMania moment. You sure Sami Zayn with his hand held high?
But that's the thing, it should do. Like, Sami Zayn beating Gunther should feel like a big WrestleMania moment. But I don't think they've done enough of capitalizing on the success of last year to make it feel like that would be the moment this year.
I think it depends on what they want to do with Gunther is the other thing. If the original plan was to be him versus Brock Lesnar, I don't think Brock Lesnar was going to win the Intercontinental Championship, personally.
Yeah.
So the plan wasn't to take the belt off Gunther in that case. So if you don't want to take the belt off Gunther, I don't see Sami Zayn beating him. So in that case, Sami Zayn, you pick Sami Zayn, and they have a good match, and it will be a good match, and then Gunther goes home with his hand in the air. If you pick Chad Gable, show the picture of the daughter crying again. You want to do that at WrestleMania? I don't think so. You want to turn that frown upside down so Chad Gable gets it. What I like about it, again, is that I don't know the answer.
No, that's exactly it. That's what I really am looking forward to next week.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to have a really. I think you're right. We talked about it a few times that the idea of Chad in the WrestleMania match at that point had kind of gone. We felt like they missed the boat. With the right people, I've always said you can build it up in seconds, and they've done that here. And this is the third week. This is their opportunity now. This gauntlet match to put it over the edge.
Yeah, I really wish they had just kept up with the Chad Gable thing. Mm. I really wish they'd done something with it, but they didn't. That's fine. They just stopped. Mm-hmm. They took him off TV. They had him on TV and just had him losing tag matches. And now they've unpaused it and just like, cool, the story is starting again, which is fine. It's not how I would have done it, but Chad's so good that he can make this work. And Sami is so good that he can make this work. I think what is actually really great, you know, talking about the failures of the Triple H creative era, one of the big strengths of the Triple H creative era, perhaps its biggest strength, is that we're going into a gauntlet match next week where you've got two potential winners. Mm-hmm. That's very rare in these sort of gauntlet scenarios. Mm. Usually, much like we have with the Elimination Chamber, there's only one winner of both of these matches.
Yeah.
There's two potential winners here.
It's such a good point. And actually, I think the next phase of the Triple H creative era, if he wants to, you know, take it to the next level, I think would be getting rid of these long title reigns, because I think when you have someone reign for a really long time, everything can feel in stasis. It puts not just the champion and the belt, that's the only person that really develops. Everyone else is in stasis, mm-hmm. because they haven't got anything to really go for. And I know that not everything has to be about the belts, but they are a good tool for keeping people hot. There was an episode of Raw in the lead up to WrestleMania 17 where all three of the Hardys, Dudleys, and Edge and Christian held the belt on the same night, which I forgot and was thrilling to see it change. And it was very compelling. Like, oh my God, what's happening? There was something dynamic about that. I'm not saying you do that every week, but can you imagine if like Cody had beaten Roman last year at WrestleMania? There's a way to keep Sami Zayn incredibly hot by having Cody versus Sami at SummerSlam or something like that. You said I could do it.
Yeah.
Can I see if I can do it against you? And Cody's an honorable guy and goes, yeah, I believe in you. You got, you know, screwed out of your chance. Let's have a go. There's a way to keep these people going. So for me, I want the belt to be taken off Gunther sooner rather than later.
Sati Niangi made a very good point about this, or a very interesting point about
what
it.
What a shock.
Yeah, because, you know, he's a
he makes good
man.
Points.
He makes very good points. He's an intelligent man. And it's something I hadn't really thought of, but I do agree with. Sami going for the IC belt does kind of feel like a bit of a step down.
That part. Exactly that part.
Because, you know, he was challenging for the world title this time last year. And was then going to be in the main event of WrestleMania, elevating those tag titles, which, by the way, don't feel elevated anymore.
Yeah.
And this does feel like a secondary choice, like a secondary feud, a secondary thing.
The tag titles don't feel elevated for me in large part because of their presentation, the way they've sort of been, but also I think they're limited by being two sets of belts. Like, I know that sounds like that's a nitpick, but it also is part of it. It all is in the presentation. Sammy's held that belt already, the Intercontinental belt. That's not to say he should never go for it ever again. But he's held it multiple times over when the belt didn't mean a lot. But he's moved past that level. This is his last resort.
That's a good
point.
He's
not looking at the belt as a prize. He's like, how do I get on WrestleMania? Oh, I guess I'll go for that belt.
That's like, we sort of had this with the men's Elimination Chamber match. Drew was the only person in that match that wanted to win the world title from Seth Rollins. Everyone else, what does LA Knight want to win the world title for? What does Randy Orton want to win? What does Bobby Lashley want to win the title for? And you're looking at these guys here. These guys all want to win this belt because they have been gunning for this belt for a while. Sammy feels like the odd man out in this case because he's like, well, no, I just want to be on the WrestleMania card. I need a big WrestleMania match. But that's why Chad is the most compelling one, because for Chad, it's about more than just the title. It's about her.
He wants to put it in her hands.
He wants to stop this child from crying.
He wants to say, look what dad can do. And oh my God, you're going to cry.
Of course I am. And he cried when he did his promo here. It's why Chad should win.
Yeah.
I don't want to see this child cry again.
I do. Children. I've already done it once on the show. I might as well swear again. No, I also think that it's a great opportunity to tell two stories. One for Sammy, one for Chad. Off we go. And then one for Gunther. Three stories in one go. That for me is what I do. Please take the story. Please.
Can I give you a potential third option?
Go ahead.
I'm just going to put out here.
JD Madonna.
Yeah. God, why not, eh? With this massive head. I am not into this idea. But I want to put it out there because I have seen some people suggest it. It's you do Sammy and Chad in the final. Time limit draw, double count out. They're both the winners. Triple threat it. Kind of basically what they did for Swerve and Hangman.
Yeah.
And you just find a way to make it a triple threat at WrestleMania.
I mean, it's not the worst idea. Like, of all the triple threats or all the multi-man matches, the idea of Gunther facing seven people in a ladder match felt cheap as chips. That feels better of the three options. Chad and Sammy. That's my least option.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I think that's my third favorite of the options, but it's not a dreadful option.
Yeah.
Do you know what that means? I think it's time for a poll.
We can't do more than one poll in a show.
Well, I think we can.
Goodness me.
It's my show. I'm Captain Polls right now.
Oh,
poll.
Goodness.
Poll me. Poll me, Mod Mother Jenna. Poll me.
Jed Mother.
Poll me. Chad, Sammy and Chad. Andrade beat Apollo Crews in 3 minutes.
And looked good while doing it.
Yep.
By the way. But that's what it should be. He started his post-WrestleMania comeback tour now. So maybe by after WrestleMania, he'll be in there. He could be a great opponent for Chad.
Could be. We had a backstage segment where The Way were arguing, why aren't we getting a title shot? And then the camera pans across and Natalya and Tegan Nox are also having an argument about why they're bad as a tag team. And then it pulls back to The Way. And they're like, yeah, why aren't they a good tag team? And then Maxine and Ivy Nile walk in. They're a tag team, remember? And they were like, hey, maybe we can help. And Candice LeRae has a pop at Maxine and walks off, and Indy apologizes for Candice's behavior.
Here is my issue with this segment.
Go ahead.
Which I have titled in my notes, The Women Whinge.
I'm glad you have some thoughts. I've got nothing to add.
Who's surprised that I have the thoughts about the women's segments in the show? My key issue with this is all of these women have had several opportunities. They've all wrestled each other loads and they've all lost loads. So then they go backstage and they complain about losing and then they go out and they lose again and repeat to fade. Like, it's just constant the same. There's no... If you think about it like the rankings or a league table or who's going to take the advantage and who's wherever, it's just Shayna and Zoe's turn. And next week it might be Indy and Candace's turn again. And then it'll be... And it's like constant the same over and over again. This is bad booking. This has got nothing to do with gender or equality or anything. This is just straight bad. Like, yeah. You wouldn't book a men's tag division this way and expect it to get over.
No, you would not.
So don't do it here. Like, this is just not working. The two saving graces of this for me, and would you believe I managed to find two, were a seeming bit of character development for Natalia and Candice, which is...
Natalia feels like a stretch, but do go on.
Yeah, Natalia erasure in this industry is something awful. I've been after Godmother Natalia for a while. The idea that she's like the legend who, you know, takes people under her wing. I feel like it's a really effective... I think there is so much you can do with Natalia, and I will die on this hill. Give me a wrestle feature video. I'll do it. I don't mind. Half an hour on why Natalia should be the top of the division. No, but there was something about her being like... almost deluded in thinking she knows better than Tegan, and Tegan being the young upstart and all that stuff. There was a nice little something there. They've been doing that for a little bit. I'd like to see more of that rather than them just standing backstage whinging all the time. Why have you come to work? Why is Tegan in a gear? Maybe they wrestle the main event. I don't know. Candice getting aggro because she is Candice LeRae and she is better than this state of what's going on. And who are you, Maxine Dupri, to come and tell me to keep my chin up and you can help? Go sod off. Do you know? Like, that was interesting character development in a segment that otherwise made me go, get out of town.
I actually do have something I can add to this conversation. Please. If you would like. It feels like they're going to lean into the Maxine social media video.
The Maxine social media video, I haven't been on to talk about this. Did you watch the match?
No.
Yeah, neither did most of the people. I did. Do you know what happened? She was actually fine. She did pretty well. The only thing she didn't do was sell the Annihilator, and I found that quite funny. But she needs to get better at that. But in terms of everything else that went on in the match was absolutely fine. Mm. So all of the discourse of you should be able to boo people who are bad at their job, she did a perfectly normal job. You could tell they hadn't watched the match. That's just my one bit about that.
So what would you say to the fans in attendance then? Because they also saw the match.
The problem in the video wasn't people booing. The problem was people screaming, get out and never come back. This whole gatekeeping bollocks about who is and isn't good and who is and isn't allowed. And I'll be surprised if the person screaming had an athletic bone in his body. And Maxine is trying as hard as she can, and he's thrown in at the deep end. I agree that her work on television, the Royal Rumble spot, the Battle Royal spots, the match she had with Rhea, absolute nightmares. Like, that's not me trying to defend her and say that she did well in those matches. That is the company's fault for throwing a manager into a singlet at the deep end. She did a fantastic job. No one, the reason I was so high on Maxine Dupri was the way she played her role in the Alpha Academy Viking Raiders feud last summer. She did a fantastic job with the little she was given.
Yeah.
Right? And she should only have been given little. The mistake has been throwing her in at the deep end.
Yeah.
If they do lean into that video and make it a story, I just hope that they get her in the performance center every week she's not on TV. The house show circuit is where she should go and get her stripes. All of that is good stuff. Booing is fine. Boo people at shows. Cheer people at shows. Have a good time. Have a laugh. There was something nasty about the things that were being shouted at her that I didn't appreciate.
Yeah. So I said this in the WrestleTalk news when I covered it. It's like the two strands of argument are fans should be allowed to boo.
Never see me agree. Disagree on that.
Fans should be allowed to boo. And the other hand of that is like, don't be a dick.
Have more chill. That was my one thing. I was like, have some chill.
And the other strand of it is they have a performance center for this sort of thing. The other strand of this, and the one where I land in, is That's what house shows are for.
Yeah.
There is only so much you can learn at Performance Center. House shows are where you're supposed to learn to work in front of a crowd.
That's why NXT going on the road is a good idea.
Absolutely. So I think that fans should be able to boo whatever they want, but you don't need to be a dick about it. I think it's great that WWE have a Performance Center, but also you put people out on house shows because that's how you learn.
That one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I landed
the
whole thing.
But to your point of bringing it into the story... Bring it into the story.
I think you should. Yeah. Because if it
helps a character.
If you have had this much traction, and this did get a lot of traction on social media and stuff, then you should move that into TV.
Hey, maybe Godmother Natalia can take her under her wing, and then we have Natalia helping her learn to wrestle. Oh my God, Natalia's got so much potential for being used at this stage in her career.
Well, there's the thing.
Me and Alex, Queen of the Ring, will go off on this.
I'm amazed that we're spending more time on the segment than I thought we were going to, because it was a nothing segment. But I am. It's funny that I'm the person who's just like, no, Candice LeRae is the should be the godmother of this division because she's incredible and is being so. In massively wasted.
My only disagreement with that is that I think, Candice LeRae has more to be the front and center of the division than Natalia at this point. I don't want to put Candice in the elder statesman position. I want to put her in the present.
My point to more was that you could tell a very interesting story of the person who has spent 15 years doing this on the independent circuit and traveling around the world doing this, and the person who has spent 20 years only doing the WWE style.
Hey, great. We're booking a women's division league, right? Because we could have a program between Candice and Natalia.
That's what I'm...
Where Candice says, hey, Natalia, you went to Japan and you bailed and you came and lived here for... Or, congratulations on all your Guinness World Records. This scar came from a match I had in Japan. This scar came from a match
that's
I had...
Point of, that's what
with,
I'm making.
Against
that's
wrestling
what I'm
the guys in the indies. Oh my God, there's so much story that you can do with this division. Let's do it. Rather than them whinging every week.
Well, speaking of people whose gimmick is being pissed off, that apparently is Damian Priest's new gimmick. Yeah. Michael Cole was put in the sofa during Judgment Day's match with Imperium, is that he is pissed off with fans because he is seeing that fans say about him online. He's seeing that they say that he'll never cash in. If he does, he'll be unsuccessful. He doesn't feel like a world championship guy right now. So he's channeling that fury and anger into having a really, really good match with Imperium. I made this joke on the edited review. If you'd have booked this on my GM mode...
I wrote that as well. Triple H would have told me off for this.
Triple H would have sent an email to you the following week, being like, you can't book heels versus heels. It doesn't work that way. But guess what, Triple H? You just did it and it worked real good. It was a really terrific match. And Priest hit South of Heaven on Vinci for the win. A very, very good match.
Yeah. Yeah, really, I wasn't expecting to... with the quality in the ring, it's going to be good wrestling, but two heels, I'm not expecting to enjoy this. No. It kind of came a bit cold.
And Judgment Day played the baby faces.
Hey, this is what I'm talking about. Maybe you want to turn Priest. I like Damian Priest. I think he's really good. I think that the reason he was given this briefcase is because he did some really good work over there and dragged Bad Bunny to one of the best matches of last year in terms of talking about variety on your shows.
Absolutely.
I liked this intensity from him. I liked the fire. I liked seeing him be dominant. You've mentioned before, and it is a very accurate rendering of the Money in the Bank briefcases. You lose, you lose, you lose, and then you cash in, you win, and it's fine because that one cash in changes the game. Shouldn't you look like a big powerhouse?
Absolutely.
Shouldn't you be doing this every week?
Well, I've always
get those tag belts on Awesome Truth for 1 week and have Damian a push and pull tug of war with Andrade over Dominic. Like, hey, there's a promo.
I'm still pitching for Damien to cash in. The second they
at WrestleMania?
Yeah, the second they were starting to put over this cash-in thing, I was like, oh, I think he's going to cash in at Mania.
Interesting.
We had a video package for Paul Heyman going into the Hall of Fame. We could do 2 minutes on this. Who'd you have inducted him?
Which celebrity do I want to get involved in the Bloodline main event? Stone Cold Steve Austin. If he's already going to be in town, might as well have him in the show as well.
Mm-hmm.
Job done.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the obvious choice would have been a Brock Lesnar.
I would not have had Brock do it. The whole reason that he was paired with Heyman in the first place is because Brock ain't a good talker.
Yeah, but he's improved on that. Like, you know, loath as I am given the circumstances to put too much praise on the guy while we wait and see how things shake out, I thought he did a much better job in the past couple of years on the mic, and giving a speech about this guy would have been a sort of nice moment. Tommy Dreamer.
It's for me, it's Dreamer or Austin.
I'm trying to think of anyone else from the Bloodline, because obviously he's got that history. Who else do we have from ECW?
Like, you,
Sandman could come out.
I'm going to induct Paulie into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Bubba Ray Dudley could speak for a while. Bully Ray, give him a pulpit. Bully Ray pulpit.
I'm Dreamer or Austin.
I think
my two pitches.
I would pick Austin,
because
then you can get two nights worth of your fee.
Yeah.
You know.
We had a Drew promo. One of my highlights of the night.
Okay.
Drew said that Seth Rollins is a spotlight junkie. He is not focused on Raw. He is not focused on the World Heavyweight Championship, and the title deserves better. Tell him when he's telling lies.
Did he say that?
No, but that's what I'm adding to it, because
wish he'd said that.
He's not telling lies.
Yeah. No, he's absolutely not. This is, again, justified.
Yeah, he's absolutely justified. And what I love about that is that that promo ties into the finish of the show.
And if we're going to have two world titles and the whole business of Triple H bringing this title into existence in the first place, the sort of like scramble to make good was this is for the workhorses, this is for the people who wrestle hard, that those two titles should have different identities. And there is something about Drew adding more identity to this belt through these promos that I find incredibly effective. He's just really good, isn't he, Drew McIntyre?
Chat are obviously pushing very hard for Punk to be the guy to induct Paul Heyman.
Oh, I mean.
Which is a good choice.
Also, an excellent choice. Also a good way to have Punk feel valued. Like, I'd worry about anyone's mental health when they're in that position. And I feel like...
Well, let's not forget, Punk being injured is what led to Brawl Out.
Yeah, and I have sympathy for him on that one. I have empathy. You know, I didn't experience it, so I have empathy. I suppose that's what that is. It'd be really nice touch.
Yeah,
I think that's a good show.
Sitting home and stewing is not good for
Superman. Yeah, that's a real, and also they have a great history together.
They're very, very good friends.
Fantastic
show.
So
it is. I mean, the only reason I go for Austin is just because of the history and the connection that those two have.
Mm.
And it's getting Austin on the show,
which
is always, you know, good value.
Yeah.
And you know that he's going to give a great speech about it. But I'd push for Austin.
Speaking of Punk, though, in relation to Drew McIntyre, this is not my pitch. This was one I heard. I think it was Hampler. I don't know. Drew McIntyre's contract, using that in the storyline.
Oh, that's good.
And doing I'm off.
Yeah, I like that.
With this belt. Yeah. Peace.
Does his own pipe bomb promo, sits down at the top of the stage.
Yeah, I don't know. Something. It was an interesting idea. Yeah,
I like that a lot. Io Sky had a stare down with Rhea Ripley, and then we had Sami Zayn versus Ivar. The match was totally fine, but the focus of this match was that Valhalla wore antlers this week, and she gave them to Michael Cole, and this crowd went ballistic for this.
They did.
Bronson Reed attacked Sammy afterwards, and then they did the Pat McAfee video gimmick, which they'd also done in the Imperium Judgment Day match. You weren't a huge fan of this?
That's a great assessment there. I was not a huge fan of this. In fact, I was very cross, and I questioned the entire industry. I questioned why we do what we do.
I showed Dan a comment that was just like, Pat's sports thing is so funny, it's so cool. And I was like, man, me and you are just in the minority with this.
Look, I'll accept that people like it. Doesn't make them right.
I like the Judgment Day Imperium one. I wrote here, they do the Pat video gimmick. At least it wasn't for a serious match this time.
Right, yeah. And then they followed up by doing the... This was like... them looking down lens and saying, we do watch your reviews and we like some of your ideas. We'll do the gauntlet match. We'll do the party girls curse, the witchy girls cursing the belts. But we're also gonna take the absolute piss out of you. We're gonna rip into you with a still of Michael Cole wearing the antlers and all of the circles in it as well. I was like, this is the apotheosis of crap. I hated every second of it. And look, I don't think they actually do watch the show. But if they do, and this is a rib, fine. Like, but awful, awful. It made me so angry. It worked, all right?
Backstage, we had Regeneration X playing 2K24 with
Xavier Kathy Woods. Kelly talking to Gunther.
Well, we talked about that earlier, because that's when Chad Gable walked in.
Yeah, but you didn't mention Kathy Kelly, and she looked pretty.
All right, well, Kathy was also there. But she was not playing 2K24 with Regeneration
she
X.
She could, she's
and,
in it.
And Woods. Yeah.
She's in the game.
Grand.
I can create a character and have her manage me. Maybe we'll have a Randy and Miss Elizabeth segment. I'm going too far.
Yeah. Truth did some lame comedy, and Miz wants to win the tag titles.
Yeah.
I'm kind of ready for this story to also get into the next phase.
Yeah.
And then our main event was Jey Uso versus Drew McIntyre. They had a pretty good main event. Solo came out to cause a distraction, and Cody ran down to brawl with him. However, Jimmy then jumped from a different barricade, and he did cause a distraction, and Drew used that distraction to hit the Claymore for the win. Drew McIntyre again getting a win due to bloodline interference, yeah, so to speak. But that was not the story this week, which I thought was quite a nice little wrinkle. Instead, it was Seth Rollins running past Drew McIntyre to focus and take out Jimmy Uso of the Bloodline to stop him from attacking Jay. And Drew got in the ring and he laid out Seth Rollins, grabbed the world title and pointed out, you are not focused on the right things. Mm. You're not focused on this title. You're not focused on me. I'm going to win this belt at WrestleMania. And then it was thunderous CM Punk chance. I thought this was a good ending to the show.
Yeah, I did too. I thought by this point I was a bit knackered from the rest of the show, so I wasn't really looking at the match. So apologies for not being able to give great analysis of the match. I thought the last hour dragged, but
last hour was long.
It was, but the final sort of tableau, the storyline elements of it were, as you say, tremendously effective. And yeah, the idea of Drew being serenaded by Punk chants during a program with Seth Rollins is like, that's quite a picture to think about, isn't it? It's like, we're almost like, yeah, let's put the belt on this big man and let him be a dickhead about it until Punk gets back.
Absolutely. Punk wins the belt from him for SummerSlam.
Oh,
yeah. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
And then Drew can go be all elite. But anyway, that was the show. I'm joking, of course. So I gave it 3 out of 5. I thought it was I think that's about fair. Kind of a weird world in which this was a good episode of Raw, but entirely missable. You do not need to watch it.
I mean, I think this is part of the conversation, really, is that I think WWE has broadly improved itself. It has got better. It has been a much more enjoyable product, and as a result it has raised its bar. And as I said, SmackDown had me so excited for this Raw, and it underdelivered, which means it was like fine.
Yeah,
but I'm more disappointed in that.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And I used to just take fine gladly.
Oh man, back in the day they killed for a 3 out of 5 episode of Raw.
Yeah,
absolutely. But now, like, 3 out of 5 episodes is like, this is now a disappointment. I don't think I've actually done like a 2 out of 5 episode of Raw. Maybe I've done like 1 or 2 since Triple H took over creative, but man, like, 3 out of 5 episodes, I'll happily take it. Mm. It's just, I'd much rather you actually make some compelling television at the same time. Mm. So thank you all so much for watching. We're going to shout out our wonderful Patreon backers over at patreon.com/WrestleTalk. Our pledge hammers. There's loads of great content over there. There'll be a brand new Patreon exclusive survival series going live. I believe it's this Friday. In fact, it's going up. It might be this Friday, might be the Friday after. We'll also have After Dark going up and the next episode of WrestleTalk Extra, which will be reviewing Payback 2014, which has got it's the second Shield versus Evolution match with Blue Tista. And then that's our chronicling the breakup of the Shield. So go over to patreon.com, check out all the perks you get over there. And if you're one of our $25 and above Patreon pledge champions, you get your name read out on the show like these fine folk. The $100 man, CD Horver.
Big Jiggy, Josh Martin.
Double L, Liam Leonard.
The pinnacle of success, Luke Kelly.
The Mat Man, Matthew Allen.
Abominable Michael Abbott.
Ryan, Disco Stewart.
Where there's a will, there's a Will Campbell.
The Machine Gun, Alex Anderson.
The Roller Coaster, Robert Acosta.
Our effort, it's Dana Puckett.
The Cleaner, Kenny Shaw.
That is your Hall of Fame class for the 5th of March, 2024. Let's get into your remaining Ultra Chat. Chris here is going to kick things off saying, I think it's awesome that we live in a time where WWE is confident and comfortable enough that they mention and even praise an AEW match, with Pat saying it was great, promoting it to WWE fans. Hope we get more from both sides. So maybe if Cody wins at Mania.
I mean, that would be fascinating. I'd rather we lived in that world, to be honest.
Yeah. Daquan G has been a member for 28 months in a row, said, please, please, please do not make Rhea's match a fatal four-way. Mammy versus Man could be the greatest rivalry since Rock Austin. That's big.
It's generous, but also I think it's if they allowed this, right, just let the rivalry be the rivalry.
Yeah.
It's more interesting.
And Aiden, to back it out, say, Liv and Nia lost at the Rumble, Liv lost at the Chamber, Nia lost to Rhea, and now they're teasing a fatal four-way at Mania. I need Rhea and Becky to be one-on-one, otherwise my girl's Becky chance of winning drastic go down. Steinemath is greater than Pipe Bomb. Booking Like a Mark said, Ultra Chatted weeks ago, the WrestleMania match should be a six-man, adding Jimmy and Jay. This is obviously the main event. I still feel it would be the best option. Either Uso could take the pin to protect the main eventers, and it keeps everyone fresh for night two, sharing the ring time.
I mean, I do, yeah, there's no harm in adding them to it, I suppose. I do, it's weird that Jay's not involved, given the connection with Cody. Yeah.
Also, what a burial of Jimmy and Jay. Let the main eventers not take the pins.
Yeah.
We've got two good Usos here to take pins for us.
Tell him when he's telling lies. Jimmy can eat that pin.
Yeah. Lobi said, I think Seth's character is compelling. He betrayed the Shield because he felt like the odd man out. His wardrobe and his attitude make him impossible to ignore. He'd rather be a clown than be looked over. Revisionist history will do wonders for Seth.
It does wonders for all of us, really.
Space Viking, Seth's joke. When he said it, I immediately saw it as Seth making fun of the elementary school humor The Rock has. But I was waiting for him to say that. Something like, this is the BS we've been stuck with if Rock ego wasn't bruised or something.
That's the part. There was no fun. It just was.
Yeah.
Is that, why are you saying that? Yeah.
Kendall here says, Nia Jax has completely won me over to the point where I get excited where I see her scheduled for a match. It's refreshing to the division. Would love a Henry-style run of dominance. She could create a true baby face in whoever beats her. Who would you have do that?
Oh, wait. You mean after another?
Yeah.
Maxine Dupri. If we tell our story.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Yeah. Maxine's a good one.
I'm just saying, on Patreon. Let's book Maxine Dupri's rise to prominence.
Yeah.
That's
the next Fantasy Booking Warfare.
Yeah.
That's one of the categories.
No, because you'll bring in the beautiful people and it'll be a whole thing.
What? Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. That's a really good idea. Like, that's actually the way to get this over, is Angelina Love and Velvet Sky.
Yeah.
Akiko here says, you guys think there's any possibility that Drew screws Sammy next week just to continue his petty heel streak? Also, did you see his Twitter video where he blasted Cult of Personality in front of Punk fans?
That's really funny. It was very funny. Yeah. What was it? The one where he says they're Boo Earns?
Yeah, from The Simpsons. Yeah,
I was saying
Boo Earns. The results of our poll for the IC title match. This is interesting. Chad, 55%. Sammy and Chad, 28%. Sammy, 15%.
I'm genuinely surprised to see the triple threat above a Sammy singles.
But isn't that just back up what I said earlier about Triple H dropping the ball with Sami Zayn?
Yep.
This guy, people were pitching last year saying he should win the world title from Roman Reigns. Mm. And here he's now coming third in a poll
for the Intercontinental Championship.
That's a four, man. Kevin here said, Raw was good. Gunther versus Dom was ace. Love the Priest hot tag. Drew is still the best. I'm undecided on Sammy or Chad, but I know I'll love it either way. This WrestleMania is looking really good. I'm so excited, but bummed I cannot make it to London this time. Ah, Kevin, we will miss you, bud. Booking Like a Mark said, from a storytelling perspective, would it have been more effective to announce Paul Heyman's Hall of Fame induction in Rock's promo? As a TKO board member, he could have made the decision. This would sway Heyman towards Team Rock away from Team Roman. Now, you're right from a storytelling perspective, but that means they can't do As Broken by Forbes, or whatever it was.
It was the Associated Press.
As Broken by the Associated Press, Paul Heyman is going in. Because that's what WWE wants. They give...
Column inches.
Yeah, column inches. That's what they're after. So they give column inches. They give someone the news, being like, oh, we're going to put this person in the Hall of Fame. Can you announce it at this time? And then they do. And then WWE can say, as reported by ESPN, we're legit, everyone. This person's going into the Hall of Fame.
Should have done it on Friday, because then he could have had both of these things. But yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Shaggy here said, I need to say my hot take on the promo debate and potentially lose a few of my friends. The pipe bomb is basically just Joey Styles' I Quit promo from 2006 with a dash of Colt Cabana. I am 141 and 2/3% behind Luke. Sinomath is the jacked up goat. I mean, tell him when he's telling lies. Blake here says, to clarify on yesterday, in a video that SRS put up on Twitter on the Derby spot, you can see Glass hitting a handful of fans in the corner. I know Luke's not on Twitter anymore, so I can see why he missed it. That's what I was referring to. Sorry for any confusion. No confusion on it. I actually saw the video later on because Sean was supposed to on Instagram. It's, yeah, some Glass does go into the front row, but everyone's fine. Here's how I knew it wasn't a big deal. No one mentioned it.
Right.
When MJF threw what he thought was water into a child's face, and it turned out that was actually vodka, Twitter was in an uproar.
You know my feeling about children. I'd do it twice.
Twitter was in uproar over that spot. Yeah. The fact that zero people were talking about people potentially getting hurt from the diving spot made me through. I was like, okay, this is not a deal. No one, everyone was fine. Mayor Painesville Dan said, hello, Luke. Hello, Dan. Hope you're doing well. That match between Drew and Jay was intense. You know what else is intense? 16-karat gold this weekend with Masato Tanaka going extra hard. I love this season of wrestling. I have high-class wrestling everywhere. And we also have this from DJ the Second from the Revolution Review. Said, I think it was missed it if it was discussed earlier, but my favorite moment of the Sting retirement match was the Bucks calling back to the Flair Michaels match when they said, we don't love you, we actually hate you. Jam that jam, love you guys for all you do. Yeah, we didn't talk about that yesterday, but we had a good laugh about it in the office when we were watching the match earlier. Space Viking said, I mean this as a compliment, but when I see Dan with the belt, I instantly think Seth Rollins. Can you do the title spin that he used to do when he won the belt? Safely, of course. Oh my God.
No, I can't. There's no space in here.
There's no space here, bud. Crivens. Benny Boy here said, no, not Raw related, but I'm playing 2K24 and there's a funny trophy I got for a fast count in a special guest referee. It's called Where's That Referee? So he tried to F on me reference.
Who's that reference? Is that Ted DiBiase?
It's Cody. Well, yeah, it's Ted DiBiase. It's a Cody Rhodes story.
Yeah.
He was trying to F on me.
Right.
Kevin here says, we're gearing up for the biggest return from injury in professional wrestling history. No, not Sheamus, not Charlotte Flair, not CM Punk. Luke's voice is coming back soon, ladies and gentle people. Seriously, hope you get better soon. Also, hi, Dan. I actually didn't give you my fourth pitch for the IC title thing.
Oh.
It's Sammy and Chad in the final. Sammy pins Chad. It's a shameful thing, Lobster Head. Sheamus comes down, surprise seventh entrance into the gauntlet, and he pins Sammy, and then it's Sheamus versus Gunther at WrestleMania.
And you got a little Sheamus and Sammy promo. I wasn't ready for you. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, that works for me.
Yeah. You know, you can, if you do the Rocky story, Rocky's got to keep losing.
Oh, for God's sake!
Like, I'm just saying, that's the classic thing of Rocky, is that he always lost, is what people seem to think the Rocky story is. And it isn't. We've also got this from Jake WTW, who's been a member for 25 months in a row. I assume there's no message on that one, but thank you very much for being a member nonetheless. Let's end the poll with what you thought of this episode of Raw. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Jeepers. This is, I think, one of the lowest we've ever had. 47% thumbs up. 46% yeah. Thumbs in the middle. I don't think we've ever had it that low.
It was just mid. It was.
Yeah.
You know, there was some good stuff. Catch it on YouTube.
Yeah. So there you go, everyone. That is this episode of Raw and the WrestleTalk podcast. Please do press the subscribe button if this is your first time here and you've made it this far. Give us a little thumbs up as well. Leave a comment down below with what you thought of this episode. Thank you all so much to our live audience. Thank you so much to our moderating crew as well. Thank you so much for your wonderful Ultra Chats. We're back on Thursday with the AEW Dynamite review. Brand new look for AEW Dynamite. We'll probably find out about those tag titles, the tournaments. I'm pushing for a C2 type thing, but that's just me.
Oh, a tag team C2.
Yeah.
But of course, that would be a C4.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind it, mate.
Hashtag sponsor.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, Ric Flair's probably not going to be around anymore, so you need that energy drink sponsorship these days.
Woo energy.
So we've got the Dynamite review. Might have Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher, but that apparently is TBD because Ospreay did hurt his back a little bit in that Takeshita match. And Tony Khan has said something big is going to happen, which could be the debut of Kazuchika Okada, which would be massive. So yeah, check it out on Thursday. We'll be reviewing AEW Dynamite. Until then, I've been Luke Owen, DAD. That has been Dan Layton, your Jam That Champion. Show him some respect. Jam That Jam.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.